everybody. Welcome to Two Guys, Five Movies. This is one of your co-hosts, Chris Gaspar.
This is Frank Pellicone.
You are listening to episode 207 of the podcast, and we are continuing our journey down the Saw rabbit hole. And tonight we will be discussing Saw 4 and 5 on the podcast, moving on to a new story, a new chapter, kind of like in the Saw universe. So, Frank, without giving away too much, better feelings on this kind of new chapter versus the previous kind of Jigsaw, I guess, chapter?
I think that 3 is a god-awful movie, and it feels like it's 6 hours long. So,
anything is better than that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're still not good. 4 and 5. And I actually, I don't know how to discuss this. I mean, it'll go in hand with their discussion of 5 and 6 or 6 and 7 as well. But like the amount of effort they go through to retcon like almost every single scene in those like first 3 fucking movies to make them somehow relevant to this entirely different like tangential story they're telling, and then just to keep like fucking Tobin Bell and Shawnee Smith apparently on screen as much as possible, even though they're both fucking dead.
Yeah. So if it's been a month, so if you're not really too familiar with, I guess, the Saw universe, I don't know why you'd be listening, but thank you if you are. We ended up with basically this long kind of convoluted ending where Jigsaw is now dead. Shawnee Smith's character, who I've already forgotten her name, is dead. Basically everybody's dead, and it's like, how do you continue the franchise from here? And our good friend Darren Lynn Bossman, who directed the 2nd and 3rd movies, comes back. And last month I kind of ended like giving like a part of an interview from Bossman talking about doing 3, not wanting to come back, but then being convinced to do 4. So I want to kind of just pick up with Bossman here and like what he has to say just a little bit before we start talking about this. So he was asked the question, like, what pulled him back into the world of the Jigsaw killer? And he said, what it boiled down to is 2 things. Unlike starting from scratch and having no idea where to go, I've been with this for 2 years now. I knew the people involved, the crew, the cast, the production designer, the costume designer. I'm going to stop there because he just keeps listing. So it wasn't
the best boy, the key grip.
Right. Yeah. You know, Tobin Bell's personal assistant. Like, so it wasn't starting a square one. It was picking up where we left off. That's exactly where we came into it. From the day I left Toronto to when I came back months later, and we're talking only a couple months, the production offices were the same, the hotel was the same, the soundstage, everything was the same. So we came to our first meeting, and it was like, where did we leave off with Saw 3? Let's begin. We never set where Saw 4 is being filmed. It's anywhere. But one thing we try to do is create a community. The diehard fans will pick it up. They will see that we are in the same locations. We use the same actors. You look at a lot of sequels, they try to take a different route. They try to put new characters in. Everyone in the Saw sequels is the same. A fun fact that not a lot of people know, but the diehards know, is that we use the same extras from year to year. Sorry, go ahead.
How would you not know that?
Well, like, maybe you're a diehard.
No. I mean, whatever, like maybe somebody's never seen, for whatever reason, maybe Saw 4 is like someone's introduction to the franchise, but they fucking tell you every single goddamn thing that happened in Saw 3 and 2, like over the course of that movie.
Sure.
I mean, that movie could have been like 45 minutes long if it didn't have all the fucking flashbacks and shit.
Right. So he goes on listing all the different extras that are the same. SWAT team's the same. The nurses are the same. Like, he likes giving examples. So as completely is a family. My favorite is there's a detective in Saw 3 that has half a line. He's back in Saw 4, saying half a line. that's exciting for us to bring the exact same people back. That's why it's not like coming back for four. It's like continuing three. Man, the mental leaps this guy is doing. This continuity brings credibility to the project. We're not changing over from year to year. So definitely there's continuity to it. If you look at the successful franchises like the Lethal Weapon franchise, those films continue to succeed because they had the same people. Whether you liked them or hated them, they did it. They did do it well. The movies that fail are the ones that have completely new people come in every time and try to reinvent it. I try not to do that. So basically the reason he's coming back is because everything's the same and he can just like, you know, come in for another payday real quick because they threw enough money at him. That's what I read between the lines of that. And given what I saw of the salary, I think I'm confirmed in that. So they throw a bunch of money at him. He comes back and, you know, talks about family and community, as the justification. But we are starting a new kind of a new story here, and it is relevant, like, you know, kind of in some ways, I guess, like in the idea that like some of these extras, like, you know, that are still the same, and do end up like showing up. In fact, like, you know, our new kind of main character antagonist of the series is somebody that shows up very briefly in Saw 3, for, you know, in kind of like in the background for just a moment, which is what's his name?
Detective Hoffman.
Mark Hoffman, is that right?
Oh, I don't know. It's
yeah.
Mandalorian or whatever his name is.
Yes. Costas Mandalore. So yes, that is our new star of the franchise. You know, in terms of the current day kind of story that is being told is Costas Mandalore. Also coming in for Saw 4 is Scott Patterson of Gilmore Girls fame that played Luke Danes on the show. Betsy Russell, who stars as Jigsaw's ex-wife. I can't remember what she was by the time like Jigsaw died. But we also have Tobin Bell returning to reprise his role in flashbacks.
He's dead.
Yeah.
But he's never truly dead because he's in every single one of these movies as much, if not more, than most of the living characters.
And the Jigsaw spirit supposedly lives on, right? So, like, his philosophy is not dead either. And what is a man?
What is a philosophy? If it's Jigsaw's philosophy.
All right, so let's jump into this movie. Basically, it's like, you know, we kind of start over. We get flat... go ahead and start off. Tell me about like the opening scene is the Jigsaw autopsy.
Yeah, probably the scene that's made me the angriest in any Saw movie to date.
Tell me about it.
So it's almost like a fetishistic examination of an autopsy,
mm-hmm.
where they, for no reason, take like 10 minutes watching somebody cut this man's body apart and take out his organs and stuff. Just so they can get to the part where they cut open his goddamn guts and pull out a tape, mm-hmm. because the tape has his instructions to Detective Hoffman, I guess, is who's in there at the time. Or is it Stram, the Luke Danes character? I don't know. Anyway, somebody's in there, like, getting that info.
It's Hoffman that listens to it, yeah.
With his DAT recorder or whatever that he's sitting there listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I don't fuck a spoiler, but, and then you find out that like Hoffman knew already. So he was just there to kind of set it up. So whatever. Right. Like, whatever. Let me say this. That opening scene is gratuitous and gross. And
I did a little bit of research because I know you don't like that. You hated the scene so much. Do you want to know their justification for the scene?
They wanted to see the things visited on Jigsaw that he had visited on other people, even if it's after death or something. I don't know.
God. Like, I mean, I would have loved to hear that. No, it's because they do so many autopsies on CSI that they wanted to do something completely different than CSI was doing. So they got as gratuitous as possible. That's justification.
That's the stupidest like reasoning I've ever heard.
Right.
My reason's much better.
Sure. Yeah. So that's what the only thing I could find of like why that scene existed.
So anyway, so you spend 10 minutes like watching Darren Lynn Bossman like masturbate to the dissection of a human corpse.
Yes.
And then I don't even remember. Like, look.
The next scene, we finally cut to it. I mean, this actually doesn't open with a game. So it's unique in that way, different. But then we jump to a game, and this is like see no evil, hear no evil, or whatever the fuck. Like no, speak no evil, right? His mouth is sewn shut. So
oh, and then one guy's eyes are sewn shut.
Yeah.
And they have to
right, fight to the death or whatever.
I don't even remember like what. So here's the problem with this fucking movie. This movie and every other fucking movie in this franchise is that from this point on, you have three things happening in every movie. Mm-hmm. You have the main plot involving Hoffman and his continuation of the Jigsaw like legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the subplot, which is all told in flashback, retconning everything you've ever seen before to explain why this is happening and how he was in all these places that you saw in the first place with Jigsaw, and also further humanizing Jigsaw over the course of these movies as to why, like, hey man, he's kind of justifying what he's doing. Even if it's fucked up, like, more fucked up things happen, you know, insurance.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. And then you have random ass people getting like tortured and murdered for increasingly less plausible reasons and not even have anything to do with like the rest of the movie.
Right.
So this is our first, like, we've now had an introduction to all three of those concepts by the time this happens.
Right.
Basically. Yep. No, I guess there hasn't been a flashback.
No, there hasn't been a flashback yet. Right.
Sorry.
They continue the main plot for a little while where it's like, you know, you find like Rigg and Hoffman get captured. I guess they introduced the Peter Strom character, the FBI agent, his partner in the movie. And they're the ones that end up figuring out that Amanda was one of Jigsaw's apprentices, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And there's some kind of like, you know, what, like, you know, like tension a little bit already from Hoffman and Strom and his partner, because, you know, Hoffman's trying to keep everything tight. And then Hoffman and Rigg, I think is his name, get kidnapped, and then they're put into a game. You know, Rigg's told that Eric Matthews, which is the Wahlberg character from 2, is, still alive, and he's given 90 minutes to save him, blah, blah. Then there's that whole thing with the sex trafficker that's strapped.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, this is the scalp, like, where the device that, like, scalps her, where he has to, like, do the combination.
Maybe I remember that. Oh, yeah.
And then, like, after she's, like, released and part of her scalp's ripped off, then she tries to attack him because she's been told to kill the guy, like, you know, like, the cop and...
Or whatever. No, I guess she's the sex trafficker. But then there's also the serial rapist guy, right? Isn't that this movie?
Yes, that's later, yep.
Hell?
Yeah. So at that point, we get our first flashback because Strom interrogates Jigsaw's ex-wife, Jill. And that's when, like, you start getting some of Jigsaw's backstory. You find out she was pregnant, suffered a miscarriage when, like, you know, some drug addict, like, opened the fucking door into her belly.
No, not just some drug addict. Mm-hmm. Of course, I guess you don't find that out in this movie.
Sure,
right.
Yeah. But anyway, like, you know, like, at one point, Jigsaw was, like, you know, what this, like, you know, kind of like liberal, like, who, like, that like, you know, supported her opening her, you know, clinic and stuff like that, like, for marginalized people and stuff. And you know, and we start seeing a lot through these flashbacks that, like, you know, he was like this, like, kind of like liberal at one point, and obviously turns into this kind of, like, you know, weird ass serial killer libertarian type, you know, after like a series of events, particularly with the his boy being killed like in the womb. So
there's a really funny picture of like a selfie that they take of the child in the womb basically through like an ultrasound, and then Tobin Bell, what's his name, John Kramer, right? Yeah, John Kramer.
Yeah.
And her.
Yeah, it is John Kramer. Kramer's. So yeah, anyway, like, you know, this Detective Rigg goes through all these other, like, you know, kind of like tests. Like the next one is he has to abduct like the serial rapist, the manager at the hotel, blah blah. All of this leads to, like, you know, obviously, like, this, like, you know, tense, like, you know, like, situation at the end where he has to, like, you know, Matthews is, like, strung up, like, you know, and Hoffman's, like, you know, like, in the trap, and Rigg has to make a choice, and then there's this other asshole who I don't even kind of, I have a hard time remembering what his deal was, and then they all shoot each other, and kill each other, and, you know, people fail tests, and ultimately it's Hoffman is revealed to be like have concocted all of it, and then you find out that he concocted everything that happened basically and like helped Jigsaw with everything that happened in Saw 3, and that the movies are happening simultaneously.
This and, was all your fucking flashbacks and
yes flash. Yeah, and then the what's his name, fucking Robert Bruce from 3 shows up briefly. And because Strom, the FBI agent, Luke Danes, goes into a room that he thinks he's going, where he thinks he's going to finally track down Jigsaw, and Jeff, I think that character's name was, right? And it's like, you know, and he goes in, and Jeff's like, you know, has just killed Jigsaw or whatever, and he's all wild because his daughter's been, you know, kidnapped. He's found out in 3 and won't put the gun down. The FBI agent shoots him. And then Hoffman ends up, like, saving the guy's daughter. So he's, like, a hero, even though he's the one that's, like, helped with everything. So now you have set up a new villain. And Strom kind of suspects that, you know, Hoffman might have somehow been involved. So there's your movie. So tell me... as a reintroduction or maybe like a rebirth or whatever of this franchise for this movie, what do you think about Hoffman as like setting up as this new antagonist? What do you think of, and you've already hinted at this, but like, what do you think of like these flashbacks versus the current story versus all this? And was there anything in this movie that you remember actually being interested in?
I got real tired watching this movie like real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I think I texted you that nothing puts me to sleep faster than a Saw movie.
Right.
I like the fact that they were trying to go in a different direction, and I'm actually not opposed to the whole idea of like going back and kind of retconning in a way just to keep it going. But I really don't like the traps in this one. I hate seeing Mark Wahlberg's feet on a block of ice. That really bothers me. Danny Wahlberg, whatever, whichever Wahlberg it is. I don't know. Just see this is maybe my least favorite one, I think. Hmm. I actually like what they do later in terms of like setting up the story and continuing like the plot twists and stuff. And it just gets like laughable at a certain point. But yeah, what did I say to you? Like somebody's investing in fucking distressed leather belts or something? Because like everybody's tied up with some like ratty ass old like leather belt contraption, and I don't.
Yeah.
And I take it back. I hate the fucking flashback shit, and I hate the fact of shoehorning like new characters into old positions. Like, just tell a new story. Like, if the answer is that he's Jigsaw's apprentice, maybe you give me 15 minutes of backstory showing how that happened, but I just...
Yeah, do we need to know about John Kramer is the question. Like, also.
Well, I'll tell you what, by the end of 7, I would tell you no, but we'll get there.
Right.
I don't even care about him.
Huh?
I don't even care about him. And I really hate the fact that, like, he's made to be some kind of, like, folk hero almost by, by the way that they direct and write these movies. Like, it's just, it's real weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like you've mentioned that to me, and it's like, he's definitely written now to be this, like, tragic figure, right? Before it was just like, oh, I'm dying of cancer, blah, blah, blah. I tried to kill myself, like, because I had cancer. I survived, and now I still got cancer, but I'm going to try to, like, help people. And now it's like you get this, like, even more tragic backstory to the guy to try to make people sympathize with him. And I don't know if I get it, like, why you do that. I will say, I at least in the sense conceptually, I like finally that we have a antagonist that is just an antagonist,
right?
Because part of the thing that I didn't like about the first three movies to some degree, is the idea that it's like there's that sympathy with Jigsaw, and he's kind of portrayed as that folk hero that you talk about, where at least now there's someone I can kind of, I mean, I just dislike the guy, but it's like, you know, I can see some people loving to hate him because he keeps getting away. And, like, at least you have this person that you're rooting against in some way. And at least that solves that problem for me with this franchise by having this Hoffman character.
I guess. I mean, look, man, like,
I'm digging for something that I...
I mean, that's okay. You're allowed to not like stuff.
Yeah. But I do like that. At least that solves that problem for me.
You know what else I hate? I hate the fucking puppet. I hate it. I don't understand it. I think it's stupid looking. I just don't like it. It's dumb. Like, you already got your goddamn monk robes and shit. Just wear your fucking monk robes.
Right. Right.
I mean, I guess it's to protect his anonymity or whatever, but it just annoys the shit out of me. This is by far my least favorite.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go through all of the traps here, but I do want to ask. So Cecil, who is the drug addict who kills his boy Gideon, we see Jigsaw's, like, basically, like, first attempt here at, like, you know, like, torturing somebody, right? Like, or, like, you know, whatever, putting him through a test, I guess. And this damn website, man. There it is. There are certain websites, because I have two monitors going at all times. There are certain websites that, like, make my monitor shut down, like, for, like, 10 seconds. And this damn wiki for the Saul movies, like, fandom, like, wiki, like, does that sometimes. So anyway, he's put in that, like, knife chair thing. Do you remember this? Like, where it's like there's, like, a series of, like, knives across his face, and, like, he has to, like, get out of that chair. And he does get out of it, and then, like, basically goes and tries to attack Jigsaw, and Jigsaw, like, basically, like, does some sort of Samoa Joe, like, nope, like, walk away, and, like, he falls into the razor wire and ends up dying.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I thought that was really good, and I think that I was, like, texting somebody at the time that happened.
Right. The knife chair is just a terrible trap. Like, it's so, like, I mean, I understand it's like his first one or whatever, but it's so fucking lame and basic. But yeah, you have the ice block trap, like, you know, you got, like, the scalping seat, like, you know, I guess out of all of them, the scalping seat is probably, like, the one that bothers me to watch the most, so I guess it's, like, maybe somewhat effective.
Watch, but I thought it was kind of clever, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
In a really simple trap, it was fine.
Right. All right, so next movie, 5. We move on from Bossman. Finally, we move on from. Just so you know, too, I did because I've done all the research here. These movies get progressively worse, basically, in both critical and audience reception. We're now by Saw 5 at a 13% from critics and a 52% from audiences.
Oof.
So, now this movie's the main thrust is Strom is investigating Jigsaw's death, and like he's like basically like suspects Hoffman, and this is largely like all about Strom's like pursuit.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to go through like this whole whole plot. We do have a new director, David Hackel. the first of two Germans that like take over these movies. Hackel was the second unit director for Bossman. So basically I'm assuming like, you know, they're just like, ah, like we're a community, we're a family. Let's just give it to him. So I'm trying to like go through my bullet points here. Hoffman gets promoted at the end of the Jigsaw case. We find out like, you know, he finds a note. It's like, I know who you are. And Strom, like, you know, is obviously, it's like hinted as the person that's done it because Strom's like on his tail or whatever. So Strom basically is like investigating like all these like, you know, different like victims and stuff like that, trying to make a connection between Hoffman and Jigsaw and Hoffman and these victims. You know, at one point, like, I do you understand, like, what's going on? Like, Jill, what is the Jill character, the ex-wife? What is her deal? Like, because at times she's
just there to give extra reason to have flashbacks.
But, it, like, in the present, there's times where it's like, because it's like she says Strom's, like, you know, stalking her at one point and stuff like that. And it's like, I never find out, like, does she hate John? Is she sympathetic with John? Like,
no, she was working with him the whole time, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I believe so.
I never got a real sense of that character, maybe because it's like not a fully fleshed out character, and like you said, it's just a device, but
I think the intent that you're supposed to, what you're supposed to infer is that I don't want to say this, that they purposefully split to protect her from what he was doing, but still like knowing what he was doing and supporting it in some ways, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. So at some point, this is this movie, right? I know I'm asking you now, like after you were like, I can't keep these things straight, but this, it's at the beginning of the movie that they're like kind of that you have the tracheotomy scene, right? With the FBI agent Strom.
Yeah. Where they trap his head in the water. And then that's where because you're seeing the end of Saw 4 at that point.
Right.
How they do every one of these fucking movies. Is right. Like, remember what you just saw? We didn't really see it.
Yes.
So Strom is trapped in the box where it fills with water. Right. And he's supposed to, I don't even remember. There's actually no way out of it because it's not like a normal trap. It's just like I'm going to murder you in a slow way trap.
Mm-hmm.
Which is also another thing that I guess maybe is something to speak for the Hoffman character as Jigsaw, is he's just out to murder people with like not giving them any way to get out.
Right.
To himself like more of a villain, but then it like really defeats the purpose of, but well, I guess maybe that's the point, is that that's why he does not a successful successor.
Yeah. Well, it's like, well, right. The idea I think is that like, you know, Jigsaw like basically like, you know, tried to pass on his philosophy to all these people and nobody actually is like following his philosophy. Like Amanda didn't, like this fucking idiot didn't.
Another motherfucker. that just delving deeper, like, oh, remember this guy? Well, there's another one behind him.
Right. So simultaneously, there's this really boring ass, like, major trap of the movie where there's all these people are in the sewer and they wake up with all these collars, like, locked around their necks, and they got to go through a series of fucking tests to, like, you know, and it's basically it's a repeat of two.
But the test is just nail bomb. Like, right. They're not even, like, good, like, tests. It's just like, you know what? You're in this room and guess what? Nail bombs. Hey, you're in the other room, and you know what the trap is? It's more nail bombs.
Right. Yeah, Hoffman is king of the nail bomb. You're right. Like,
when you gotta die, pick who it's gonna be. Nail bombs for everyone.
But it's all a bunch of assholes again, right? Like
yeah, they're all by some nefarious, like, real estate dealings or something like that. That's that one, right?
Yes, it is. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't even go anywhere. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Gotta hate these movies.
Right. So anyway, all of it eventually leads to Strom, who's been, like, ordered off the case and, like, but, like, you know, and he's got his, like, fucking gravelly ass voice, like, you know, like, from where he gave himself a tracheotomy to escape, like, the water torture trap or whatever. He's, like, tracked down Hoffman because he's been, like, you know, been gone rogue with his raspy voice. And finally, like, you know, like, thinks he's, like, you know, caught Hoffman, tracked him down. And his boss thinks he might be the Jigsaw Apprentice, like, Strom himself. Yeah. And so then he goes down, tracks down Hoffman. It looks like he has Hoffman cornered, and, like, kind of, like, caught red-handed. And, you know, they're in this room together, and the door of the room shuts itself. The walls begin to close in. And Hoffman puts himself in this box that is, like, starts to lower. And it's actually, he hasn't, like, caught Hoffman at all. Hoffman's, like, trapped him in this room that crushes him to death. And everybody thinks he's the Strom, the FBI agent, is now the Jigsaw Apprentice, and Hoffman's kind of off the hook and, you know, isn't suspected by anybody anymore, it seems.
Right. Except in the next movie, you find out that he 100% is. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. Because, so I will say this. I think this is maybe my, out of these four, might be my least favorite, honestly, because I had no interest in the collars nail bomb story at all. Like, I didn't think there was anything real funny in it necessarily. Like, I didn't think that there was, like, anything, like, nothing. Like, I was just really just kind of bored most of this movie. But I will say, I think this is my favorite ending to any of these movies, as almost, like, cartoonish as it is. Because it is a very much like a Looney Tunes, like, Bugs Bunny, like, type thing of, like, with Hoffman being in the box, like, looking at him, like, you know, as, like, being lowered down to the ground and everything. It's like this, like, mega villain, like, type move. And in that way, I like the ending because it was it was fucking goofy as shit and over the top. And at least it had some charm to it. It's, like, basically, like, it ends up being, like, what's his name? Lestrade, like, going after Moriarty or something, like, you know, and just being a fucking fool and getting, like, tricked. And here's fucking uncharismatic Costas Mandalore fucking being lowered into the ground and giving, like, this, like, the slightest of grins because I don't think he can actually emote.
Because they're so shiny and tight.
Right. So this is probably my favorite ending of all of them, in some way, but I hated this movie. Like, I think it's the most boring out of all of them to me.
What is the ending of this movie?
That's the one. This is the one where Hoffman gets lowered into the ground and Strom gets crushed to death.
Okay, right. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that I like that ending.
It's fine.
Like I said, it's goofy. It's cartoonish. Makes me chuckle.
But You're going to get to see it again in the next movie.
You are. Well, you get to see everything again in every next
movie. Right, and every it's important. And then it's extra layers.
There's always an extra layer. They're family, like, you know, they just keep they probably bounce ideas off of each other all the time. They are a yes and family. Absolutely. I want to say this before we kind of like wrap up talking about 4 and 5, right? Is you know what the problem is? One of the biggest problems with these movies, besides being poorly written, is like there is nobody that's charismatic in any of these fucking things. Because Tobin Bell, nice guy, okay actor, but not a lot of charisma there. There is not a single person in any of these movies that has any charisma at all. Like, you take the worst franchises, like the ones that like are just so boring. There's at least some character that has some goddamn, like, you know, something interesting about him, or like some, you know, some kind of charisma as an actor. There's nobody in any of these movies. Do you think anybody actually has charisma out of these actors?
No, I guess not. I mean, everyone's just really whiny for most of the time.
Yeah. And
because almost everyone is under the threat of like imminent death, like constantly.
Sure.
Who has charisma in these movies? And it's only as a matter of degrees by comparison. It's Tobin Bell. Like,
sure.
The only person that's not a chore to watch when he's on screen, I think.
Right, and that's because he's a capable actor, right? Like, you know.
The woman that plays his wife, there's nothing to her, but she's not super offensive when she's on screen. Like, I don't mind scenes with her in the movies because generally nothing is happening except for exposition.
Right, right. But Constance Mandalore is a charisma vacuum.
Oh my God, he's one of the worst actors I've ever seen.
Right.
You know, it's like, what's the actor's name from Veronica Mars that plays like the shady private detective that's sort of like the foil to...
Oh, hold on. I can just look up. I can find it very quickly. Ken Marino.
Okay, so it's like Ken Marino with a jar of mayonnaise and like a dime store mannequin, and you smush them together, and then that's what you're getting.
Yeah. I mean, Scott Patterson, the actor, like, you know, Luke Danes was a character who was built on the fact that it's like he didn't have a lot of charisma. Like, that's what that guy can do, is that, like, but you have to pair him with people that have charisma. Like, so having him in this role, he's not the worst, right? He's not, like, you know, necessarily offensive, but it's like he's just, there's nothing there. There's no there or whatever, like, with him.
Definitely there.
But it's like all the other actors, like, you know, Elvis, like, you know, gives one of the worst performances of his life in the first movie.
Yeah. Him and Glover both.
Right, sure. Yeah. And
fucking lost Ben, whatever.
Oh, right, sure. And then, like, Wahlberg, like, you know, tries to do something that, like, doesn't really succeed, and, like, he doesn't have a lot of charisma. So it's like, there's just nobody, like, in any, and then, oh my God, and then Robert the Bruce, that actor, like, you know, dreadful in the movie, and then, like, again, like, no charisma. Like,
my favorite performance is that one of the characters in 7, so we'll talk about that.
Yeah, right.
Next month.
But yeah, that's one of the things I realized by this point in the series, though, is just that, like, there's nobody that, like, interests me, like, really, as an actor. And Bell's the best one, but it's like, by this point, it's like, the fucker's dead and you're just getting backstory. So, it, like, it doesn't even feel like it matters a lot of times when you're watching him.
The fucker's dead and you're just getting backstory. That's a spin drink.
Thank you.
I would have said at the bar when I was like six Jack and Cokes deep.
I'm only 6 sips deep. So yeah. So I think Maybe it picks up just a tiny bit, you know, in sixth and final chapter. And so we're moving on to the Kevin Grotert, like final two movies of this series, because we get another German director taking over. So yeah. Any final thoughts on these two movies, Frank?
I don't know how they got any money to make anything after this. That's all I got to say. I don't know. But like a break, right? That's no.
No, it's every year. It's every year until 2010, like when Saw 3D comes out.
And then it's like 7 years until the next one, right?
Yes, it
Or
is.
in spirals like 19 or 20 or something. I don't
It's 20, it's 21, and
know. So we
then
can.
so I will just tell you real quick, budget wise, 10 million for three, four stays at 10, sorry, million, 10 million for four. And then it goes up just to like 11 million for five. And then the next two movies that we'll talk about next month are hold on, let me find them here. 11 million again, and then goes up to 17 million, but I'm assuming that is the 3D aspect of the final chapter when it was released in theaters, is why I don't
Also, paying every single one of those actors to come back and be in the movie again.
know. Sure, yeah. Yeah, that's true. So, but yeah, so they still stay with roughly the same budget they had for two and three. You know, through most of this up until Saw 3D, which goes up some. But all right, well, we will be back next month to finish up this new saga of Saw. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Deuces.